Einstein was created in 1944 by German scientists.
And that scientist's name? Albert Einstein.
Albert Einstein. He actually went back in time, created himself, so that he could create a time machine to go back in time. It's in your history books, guys. Check your history books.
Wake up, sheeple.
Oh, I'm still recording. You know what? Let's go with it. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and a good evening on this Tuesday, March 8th. It's Shannon Young here with you with Asa Gray, the five-star man.
Five? Five?
Every time. We have to change your nickname.
No.
The five-star man.
It's the only nickname I've ever had that I like.
Well, okay. What's your other nicknames?
Just various mispronunciations of my name.
Do you remember the picture I made for you of Mr. Gray Will See You Now?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a picture of you in a fireman's hat?
Yeah, that was that was my first day of like actually training because Krista made me wear it. Krista was mean.
And anytime I go back and do one of those Facebook things that says, what are your top pictures?
Mm-hmm.
That's always number one. In fact, there are no pictures of me on my top pictures. It's always you or Allie or Lindsay. Or Xavier Woods now.
Well, the majority of the time I would say is because like when you post selfies, like you just kind of post the picture as like, oh, here's what we're going to use for the show. But when you post pictures of like other people, it's always accompanied by like a very long, like lovingly written or hilarious joke thing.
Yeah.
That like the effort that you clearly put into, the one with Mr. Gray, like,
I know.
It's just a photo, like you just,
it was a Photoshop.
Copy-pasted the head, and yeah.
Well, plus you're very popular.
I'm kind of a big deal.
You really are. You impress me enough to give you half of a show.
That's true.
There's four people on this network that have their own shows, and that is you, me, Tanner, and Jesse.
Yep.
Tanner's is questionable because he never hosts. Because we tried to have him host once, and it went so poorly that we declared never to do it again. We also said we wouldn't do ghosts and UFOs anymore, but I still try to sprinkle it in occasionally.
Right.
And actually, this is a good way to start what I wanted to talk about originally. Now, if you know the format for Mr. 100 and the Five Star Man, it's generally that we just kind of talk.
Right.
Because Asa and I, since we met, have had a great rapport with each other. We carry on conversations very well, much better than Dalton and I, or you and Dalton, or anyone in Dalton. Carry on.
There it is.
Yeah. So we like to just talk back and forth. We don't have any set topic. Normally it's lighthearted. It's fluffy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just two friends casually talking, and sometimes people want to hear us. Last week was something far, far different.
Well, I'll have to stop you because, like, sometimes we'll get a topic. Like, we'll know something that we want to talk about, like the Daredevil
Punisher. Which was one of my favorite shows that I've ever done, by the way.
That was a lot of fun. Or
with Allie and Ethan.
Right.
Which we then tried to recreate the magic last week with Allie and Ethan and results.
Where we had no topic whatsoever.
So I was on Facebook literally at the start of the show searching for something to talk about. I found Pornhub. I should have backed out immediately. But instead I thought, you know what? I'm going to go with it. Let's go with it. And I've been told it wasn't a bad show. We've talked about it before. It was not one of my favorites though.
It was just, I think, because even Jesse saying, like, listening back to it, you could tell there was, like, a weirdness.
Yeah.
But it wasn't nearly as, like, what we felt actually being here.
Yeah.
So I think our perspective of it is a little skewed.
And it's always different when you're actually doing the show.
Yeah.
Bob, my roommate, Jack McNeil, which is very confusing for people that don't know Bob's name is Jack McNeil on Facebook. He wanted to come on and he actually wanted to come on the show and talk about depression in the wake of his relationship ending, and I thought it would be a good idea and I'd love to do it, but at the same time I asked Bob, I said, you know, it's different when you're talking to your friends versus when you actually get in front of a microphone and try to talk in front of a microphone, because once that microphone gets in front of you, it changes everything. And it's happened to how many people that have come on the show. Kurt McDowell, Allie, the first time she came on, of a couple of people. You get nervous. Mm. You kind of look at the microphone and think, oh God, this is being recorded. What do I say now?
Yeah.
And last week, I think, was a prime example of people that have done this for a while going, what am I going to say now?
Well,
and it just didn't go so well.
And like we talked about earlier, it's whenever it's a lighthearted show, like, because you're not getting off the hook. I still want to talk about Mortal Kombat tonight.
Oh, that's, how's that not lighthearted? You well, can actually see the heart when they rip it out of their chest.
Exactly.
Yeah. Also, I'm going with the soft spoken voice tonight. I don't know if you can tell. You're welcome, ladies.
We kind of realized that with the lighthearted shows, it's so much easier to just kind of go off the cuff and talk about whatever, like, especially because then you can just rely on memories and things that you're looking forward to and stuff like that. Whereas like where we ended up talking about certain things, it's like, those are things that I would really need to like do actual research on other than just going on, well, this is how I think it should work. So, but I have literally no evidence to support it.
And I will take the blame for that because I don't know how many people know how we do the show here, but most of the time I know what we're talking about and no one else does. If you're lucky, I may give you a general topic, but for the most part, it's just, all right, Shannon's got things to say. Everybody follow in line. And with last week, that really backfired on me because I didn't know what I was going to say. And then when we picked the topics, it just didn't go so well.
Right.
It wasn't a bad show, but it was just awkward.
Yeah.
It was difficult. Mm-hmm. It reminded me of the Zach Kurga show because it wasn't a bad show.
Right.
But there was just this awkwardness and you could feel it. You could hear it listening to the show.
Mm-hmm.
I love Zach, but it was awkward. And I feel like if I ever do give CJ his Mr. 100 Presents, it's going to be very similar. If there is a Mr. 100 Presents to do. And you know what I mean. Which is what I was going to talk about.
Right.
So here's the thing, guys, ladies and gentlemen, that are out there listening to me in internet land. If you've been listening to this show for the past year, because we're creeping up on a year come WrestleMania, you know that this started out as a podcast for me, more or less. This was my idea. This was my baby. I wanted to do something very similar to Coast AM, or more recently, stuff that I've been watching that has reminded me of what I wanted to do originally. John Oliver, a lot of the Seth Meyers stuff on late night, on NBC. But I wanted to take a journalistic approach to topics and speak about them. And somewhere along the line, I want to put it right around the 50th episode. I started to, realize that the old format was changing. And then when Jesse came on board with Nerd Up, not only did he bring a great show that a lot of people love, but I think it also shifted the balance of how we originally planned on doing this versus what it has become today, which is most of the time a free-flowing discussion amongst friends who all want to do this together. It's a community thing, which is great because when it comes to things you can do with people you love, I think this is one of the most fun things I've ever done in my life. But it's not what I had in mind originally. And I was talking to Hunter today. He and I were shooting texts back and forth, which felt great, you know, like old times. And I was telling him how it just doesn't feel like I had originally intended it to be. Somewhere along the line, I lost sight of what I wanted to do. And instead of taking this journalistic approach to topics that I wanted to talk about, I became a cartoon character that just said the F word a lot and made really offensive jokes. And a lot of the times I did it just to see the reaction of the people at the table because I thought this will be funny. And it is funny, but that's not what I wanted to do. That's not what Podzilla 1985 was supposed to be originally. And I have been talking to you guys. I let you guys know today of my intent that come WrestleMania, that will be my last show for Podzilla 1985. That I was going to leave permanently. And leave you guys the show. And I was met with immediate backlash.
Because that's dumb.
Of everyone saying, no, if you leave, we don't want to do it anymore.
Which is true.
True.
And also, like, but not only did you just want to leave and stop doing the show, you then wanted to turn around and just
start
a new show.
Yeah. And that's part of Shannon's personality, is that he gets frustrated / bored / whatever with things in his life, and he will abandon them and then start something new just to have something different. I've done it with Blogzilla. I did it with just about everything that I've ever done creatively, that I get sick of it and I don't want to do it anymore for one reason or another. And then I'll pick up the pieces and try something different. I'm always trying something new, which is both good and at the same time kind of, I don't know. It keeps me from ever really accomplishing anything.
Right.
It's that jack of all trades, master of none type mentality. Mm-hmm. Dalton especially said that, you know, Podzilla will fall apart without you. Now, first off, I want to say that is not true. If I left, Jesse Kimball, for one, would pick up the slack on a lot of it. And I feel like you would pick up the slack on everything else.
But I would not, is the thing. Because Jesse would still have Nerd Up. Like, that would still continue.
And Tana Thursday. And he could host that, too. Because that's... Jesse and I kind of split on Nerd Up. Or, oh, no, I'm sorry, on Tana Thursday.
But do you think that Tanner would still be on board? Like, if it's not to do it with you? Not saying that, like, Tanner and Jesse don't get along or aren't friends or anything, just...
It started as Tanner and I.
Yeah, a lot of this revolves around you and insert friend.
Yeah.
Like, there would be no Mr. 100 in the Five Star Man show.
It would just be the Five Star Man.
Which I wouldn't want to do a show. I like doing this, like, being one-on-one, but still having, like, someone there to guide the show. Because, mm-hmm. like, I'm not a host. I know that. I know for a fact PWE would stop, because I don't, like... The only reason I still watch wrestling is because of the show. And if you're not there to do it with, slash be able to, you know, make fun of it and bounce ideas off of it, then, you know, a PWU episode of just me and Dalton would be terrible.
And Allie. Oh, wait, no, we were under the assumption
that... Allie would sit at the table when you're not here to do pro wrestling. Probably not.
She said probably not, but that's not a no.
It's pretty much, it's the polite no. So, I mean, I also think that Jesse's right, because one of your arguments for not just doing it under the Podzilla banner is you didn't want to compete with whatever other show happened to release on, because you want to do kind of like a shorter...
Like a daily show type thing.
Yeah.
But I never realized, when Jesse talked about that today, honestly, I never thought of it the way he said it, mm-hmm. which is one of those things that once I heard him say it, I thought, how did I not think of this? Like, how did I not consider this point of view? Because if I don't want to post two shows a day because I don't want to compete with the other show and I don't want to take viewers away from the other show, then how will making my own podcast anew and then posting it opposite of Podzilla not achieve the same effect? Right. And he's absolutely right. So whereas I intended on coming on the program one of these days and announcing my departure mm-hmm. from this thing that I helped create, I don't think that I'll be doing that.
Right.
But what I would like to do is I would like to do more of what I originally intended of a serious humoristic, journalistic look at topics throughout the day.
Right.
But I don't know. I address this to the listeners. Do you think that would be a good idea to do that show opposite of, let's say on Tuesday, we do Mr. 100 and the Five Star Man, but at the same time earlier in the day, maybe in the morning or something, you also have a 30-minute show of just the day's news.
And I've always...
Like, is there a market for that?
I have always kind of wondered, like, if posting the shows... Because pretty much every show that gets posted ends up going up at around, like, 1 in the morning.
That's when I get it edited and put up,
I'm not saying, like, it's as a negative thing, just I kind of wonder if when it gets posted, especially, like, when it's first posted on Facebook, I know that's where we get a lot of initial listens.
Yeah.
I wonder if that affects the number of people that end up seeing the post. We do have so many different, like, you'll post shows, you know, I'm tagged in them, Jesse's tagged in them, Podzilla will post it, Nerd Up shares it. Like, it's posted many times.
Yeah.
Just that initial one is always, like, super early. So I just wondered if, but like you said, if we do one, like, if you do one in the morning of the, like, the day before.
Yeah.
Then there's less of an overlap, especially if it's a shorter episode.
Which it would be. I wouldn't want to go, especially because if I did it, it would be just me.
Right.
You know, I might have somebody on to talk about something. But I definitely would not do it more than that. Sorry. I just got a message from Lonnie saying, okay, fine. You all have convinced me. Let's just stop doing pre-orders. My blood's boiling. My blood pressure cannot handle it. I'm going to ask him what's up. And that's where I'm going to leave it. I'm going to ignore it from this point on. So yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do in terms of that idea, but I want to do something.
And the suggestion that I made is you don't necessarily have to start a whole new thing if you don't want to, as much as, cause even John Oliver, like, that's a weekly show.
Yeah.
I
talked about doing a weekly show. Allie and I had talked about doing a weekly show of more serious topics and maybe doing it on Saturday. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, obviously the sports show suddenly took off.
Right.
Legitimately. Like, they're doing them weekly now, and mm-hmm. I'm not worried about, are they going to do it? Are they not going to do it? So I don't really want to do it on Saturday. We could do it on Sunday, but Nerd Up records on Sunday evening mm-hmm. at 7-8 o'clock. They're usually done around 9-10. That means that I would have to do my show after them, which would be,
or have to do it before, like,
or do it
in the morning.
Yeah. So either way it goes, it seems like there's complications on all sides.
And like I said, like, instead of, you know, necessarily doing that, just kind of tweaking existing shows that we have. So, like, even, you know, the show that we're doing now, you know, I have no problem doing, like, serious topics because we've done serious shows before. I think they go really well.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of, as long as I'm not being surprised by what the topic is, if I get a chance to be able to do some research and be able to, you know, back up statements with evidence or, you know, something like that, as opposed to just like, well, I don't know anything about economics, but this sounds right to me.
Otherwise you'd be Bernie Sanders.
Oh, come on now.
That's a joke. That's a joke. Withdrawn.
And especially kind of like the, you know, Tanner Thursday, because that started as a little bit more investigative. And
it was. Tanner Thursday originally started as a topic show.
Yeah.
And then somewhere along the line, Tanner didn't make it one day. Mm-hmm. John Massey coined the term Trainwreck Thursday. Mm-hmm. And then at first it was a scarce thing.
Right.
But recently it's become almost, even when Tanner's there, it's been how offensive can we get?
Right. And which, like I said earlier today, it's like, those are probably my least favorite shows that end up happening, is because Jesse put it so well. It's like, no one intends to do that. It's just, it's Thursday. The filter goes away and then stuff ends up getting said. That's like, really?
And it's usually me.
I mean, everyone that's on the shows, like, usually ends up, you're right. You tend to do it more.
I push
so.
The envelope and there's definitely a market for that. Mm-hmm. There are people that love that aspect of the show that go, I tune in because I want to hear how crazy they get. Mm-hmm. But that's not what I wanted to
do. And that's kind of one of the things that I was talking about earlier, is it's like, you say you wanted to do such a journalistic integrity, you know, actual serious show. And then you're the one that's like, Trainwreck Thursday, let's do this.
And I'd like to back out now, please. I'd like to tap out and take it back to the original intention.
Cause the normal Tanner Thursdays I really enjoyed, like, I always enjoyed listening to those. And like the shows on Thursday that we end up doing that are called Trainwrecks, but not like the Ghostbusters one that we just did.
Yeah.
Or even like the Pokemon conspiracy ones, like any of those, like where there is a topic and a theme that is followed. I think those are great shows.
And that was the thing with Trainwreck Thursday, is that originally it was called Trainwreck Thursday because that particular episode
was a train wreck.
Mm-hmm. And it was funny because it's like, okay, normally we do these great shows. Here's one that was completely off the wall. It was a train wreck.
And then it just kind of slowly evolved into Weenie in the Butt.
Yeah. And I really want to get away from that.
Right.
And if you were one of those listeners that enjoys the controversial aspect of it, that likes to hear us, you know, you like to hear me say the N-word, or you like to hear me make jokes about abortion and things like that, I do apologize for going a 180 on you. But you have to understand that at the end of the day, Podzilla 1985 is my creation, and it was something that I created out of love and a desire to do journalism again after doing journalism ever since college, maybe even my whole life, because I've always had an interest in it. So we have to be true to ourselves. I have to be true to me. So you're going to see less of that off the wall. Every 5 seconds, there's an F word, N word joke type stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to take it back to more interesting topical discussions.
Right.
We can still be funny.
Right.
If we ever were.
We laughed.
Sometimes really hard.
There's those episodes where Billy laughs in the background.
Don't you be talking to me about Billy.
Those always made me feel good.
I miss Billy.
Right.
Billy is now in Ohio. I messaged him yesterday, maybe the day before. Yesterday. And he said he's very happy there. Things are going well.
That's good.
Billy, if you're listening to this, and I hope you are, we miss you. We really do. And we hope you're doing well. I do have a couple comments we can talk about here from the Facebook page. I don't know if you saw, this is kind of a serious topic. I posted a article from Entertainment Online that has been reposted everywhere about Kim Kardashian. I don't want to talk too much about Kim Kardashian, but I feel this is important in not only terms of celebrity fame, but also in today's
International Women's Day.
International Women's Day. So I feel this is topical. Mm-hmm. Kim Kardashian posted a completely nude photo of herself to Twitter with a comment that said, like, nothing to wear, lol. And she's completely nude, except for a black bar covering her breasts and a black bar covering her pubic area. Mm-hmm. And a couple of celebrities came out against it, including Bette Midler, Piers Morgan, and Chloe Moretz Grace. All three of which kind of varying levels of sass, we'll say. Chloe Moretz Grace was the most classy of the three, saying simply, you need to recognize, and I'm paraphrasing, you need to recognize your position of power and that you need to promote the fact that women are more than just how nice their bodies look. Bette Midler said that the only way Kim Kardashian can show us anything new is if she swallows the camera, which was very funny to me. And Piers Morgan said something in British.
Right.
You can imagine it in your head right now, I bet. Kim Kardashian responded by first talking about how rich she is and how she couldn't hear all the haters because she was depositing so much money into her bank account. Then went on to say no one knows
isn't her husband like $83 million in debt?
53. Let's be fair.
My fault. No, he's not, by the way.
She said Chloe Moretz Grace, nobody knows who she is. Which...
That's untrue.
That's completely untrue. Maybe to Kim Kardashian, mm-hmm. because Kanye doesn't know who half the musicians in, you know, the world are, even though they're huge deals.
Yeah.
And then she said Bette Midler was phony, et cetera, et cetera. I posted, this is exactly what I posted on my Facebook. And if you are listening to this and you want to keep up with me, just go to podzilla1985.com. You can catch me on Twitter there. You can catch all of our Twitter handles there if you want to interact with us, the personalities here on the show. But I asked, is Kim Kardashian a liberated modern woman who can promote her body and be empowered by it? Or is she setting women's rights and progress back by giving credence to the concept that a woman is only as important as she is rich and beautiful? I wanted to get people's comments on it, and they kind of range from different places. Michael Spees simply said, hot. Let that soak in. And Mimi liked it for some reason. Whatever. Joey Poole, he wanted to say, I don't really see it as setting anything back, mostly because she is a Kardashian, and this isn't the worst thing she has done. If she feels comfortable showing off her body on social media, then she needs to expect criticism. Young kids shouldn't have social media apps anyhow, and young adults are looking for something to entertain them. We are all born naked anyhow. And I think Allie asked earlier when she was reading this, what should be the age requirement for social media apps? Didn't you say something similar to that effect? Yeah. I'm just saying what you said so they can't hear you. Which it used to, didn't it?
Well, Facebook started as you had to be, it was college. And it was like no one that was outside of a college network could, sign up. Then it eventually expanded to high schools. Then after, so you could, it was only for people in high school or college. And then it further expanded to just anybody. Oh, was it 13 and older? Well, Ali says that it went to 13 and it went to 13 and older.
Yeah.
But now it's like I've seen people's Facebook pages for their brand new newborn baby.
I mean, I have a Facebook page for my cat. Yeah. So she hasn't posted in years. She's bad on social media.
But it's to me like the Kim Kardashian thing is it's like while she should I do agree that she should kind of respect that there are this, you know, generation of young adults that do look up to her.
For some reason.
Yeah, I don't agree with her being a role model. Other than, you know, she say what you will about any kind of like talent or, you know, how she became famous. But like you do have to respect that she has basically an empire.
Yeah.
At this point. Like she has clothing line and well, stuff not only like that.
One of the few things that I've ever argued with Stephanie from Nerd Up, like mm-hmm. that we've seriously gotten to an argument about was her dismissal of Kim Kardashian as anything worth anything. Yeah. She looks down on her. And I asked Stephanie once and it kind of upset her. I said, have you ever looked into how much money and time have you donated to charity, Stephanie? Cause have you ever looked into how much money Kim Kardashian and the Kardashian family has donated to charity or time that they've used to donate to charity? Because I personally have never donated other than, you know, giving money to people at Christmas time or, you know, anytime I can donate, I try to.
Right.
But at the same time, I don't do it on a scale nearly as much as the Kardashians. So say what you will about them, and whether or not you feel that their donations are legitimate or if they're just tax write-offs, I don't know, whatever your criticism is, they still do it.
Yeah.
So it's not like she is just a worthless creature that's just begging for attention. She doesn't have to beg for attention at this point. Mm-hmm. She has all the attention she could ever want, in my opinion. Yeah. You know. Tabitha Thilgore, who is a friend of ours, of William Kraft's lovely girlfriend. William and I go way back. She said, I completely agree that women are more than entitled to do whatever they choose with their bodies, but I do feel like most of the time Kim is just doing it to raise eyebrows. I know that many people, or I find that many people who make the hashtag liberated argument are the same people who simply wish to gain a few more followers and attract media attention. If she wanted to support the right to freedom and positive expression with regards to the female body, there are better ways than petty Twitter fights. She could be using the exposure she gets in better ways, more positive ways than Twitter rants, and following them up with photos that are little more than the so there at the end of a kid's bickering match. Because Kim Kardashian, one of her responses to the controversy was she posted another naked picture of herself with the hashtag liberated. Mm-hmm. And it depends on what your views on that are. I don't know. I thought it was interesting, and on today of all days especially, that I've always had a problem that it definitely feels like in America, especially, we kind of have this belief, and it's not entirely true, but it's just a feeling that we tell women that the most important thing they can do is be pretty and sexy. And you see it every time. How many people are famous just because of their bodies? How many people are famous just because they take their clothes off? I have a Sports Illustrated swimsuit calendar in my kitchen given to me by Zach Kurgis at Christmas. Thank you, Zach. And the women on the calendar are only famous because they take their clothes off and pose half naked. Now, is that entirely true? Well, I mean, when
a lot of them are athletes too.
Not in this particular issue. This is like Emily Ratajkowski. I'm going to mess up her name. She was also in the Blurred Lines video. She was the naked girl. She was in a couple of things as the naked girl. Get where I'm going with that. It's their right to do it, absolutely. But I don't know. Do you think that America definitely gives more attention to the beautiful and half naked than the women
that
are?
I mean, sex sells. Like, oh, sex absolutely sells. I don't think anyone's going to argue that.
Duck Dynasty might. And I know it's funny that I'm referring to Duck Dynasty as an entity, like it's a sentient being.
At this point,
it's the same kind of followers that a certain presidential candidate has. Which, by the way, I'm happy Ace is here with me tonight, because originally this show was supposed to be a full-on political extravaganza talking about the Democratic debate on Sunday, plus the recent trend of the Republican Party coming out against Donald Trump, and really both parties going against the people that they have running for nomination. I knew Asa would not appear on this show because Asa does not like to talk about Donald Trump, and we're not going to talk about him right now. But if you're wondering why I posted earlier that this was going to be a political show and it turned out not to be, that's because I wanted to do the show with Asa. And the only way I was going to do the show with Asa is to not frustrate him with a subject that he has clearly stated he does not want to talk about. And that's not a shot at you. That is just an explanation.
I refuse. He deserves no more attention. That's all I'm going to say. That's it. The end. Next topic. What's the next comment?
I had other things to say about it, but that's fine. We'll move on.
Y'all are doing that Thursday?
Maybe. I got to get a team together for it. You know, Jesse, obviously.
It's like Jesse and Tanner and you and...
I think I've said times on this show than I have in a long, long time. That's how nervous I am at the moment for some reason. We got more comments. Mike Branham from Hey, I Play Games
from
and
Not
Do Stuff.
From Not TurtleCon.
Not TurtleCon. The convention we held at Gaming Grounds in Cape Girardeau at 709 Broadway for Mike Branham, who didn't show up. Instead, we played
video
games.
We're not bitter.
Not at all. But he wanted to say, I like Podzilla and Mr. 100.
Thanks, Mike Branham.
Thank you, Mike Branham, for ignoring the beautiful man across the table from me. I'd say next TurtleCon, you're going to get it, but probably won't be there. Tanner wanted to say, from Tanner Thursday, just so you know, the only way out is death or a swift kick to the smooth criminals by me. Which Dalton replied, don't make it swift, and Tanner replied, big T swift.
And now a Tanner Taylor Swift mashup is all he can think about.
You're thinking about Tanner Swift.
I'm thinking about Tanner in the like blank space video. With the mansion and like stabbing pillows and paintings.
Cause darn, well, I'm a nightmare dressed like a daydream.
I'd watch that. Tanner, please.
Please make that video. Tanner, if you listen to the first part of this show, I don't have to explain anything, so we're gonna move on. Aaron Picard wants to know who would play you on Celebrity Jeopardy.
Oh, so this goes back to the whole like when Waiting first came out. Anyone who's ever worked in a restaurant that is required viewing, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, I would like to say it's Ryan Reynolds. But I know in my heart, it's probably Justin Long. But if we're going with like actual SNL, like.
Well, see, that's what I want to know. Are we talking actual SNL cast members currently?
Mm-hmm.
Or is this anybody? Let's just say,
like a celebrity.
Let's just say anybody because they've had.
Well, because they have like the host will come on as, you know, just whatever impersonation they decide to do.
Sometimes, you know, Tom Hanks was on there once as Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Which was pretty funny. Not Burt Reynolds. Norm MacDonald showed up as Burt Reynolds.
Right.
So let's just say any celebrity. Any celebrity could play you. Who do you have?
I want to say Ryan Reynolds, but it's probably Justin Long. Although,
why Justin Long though?
Because he's the kind of smaller, wiry, sarcastic, quick-witted guy.
I like Justin Long.
Like his, I know I do too. Like, but I feel like he and I have similar senses of humor.
I see you as a Will Wheaton. Is that an insult?
No.
Okay.
I like Will Wheaton. I like Tabletop. He's got a series where on YouTube where he plays board games with famous people.
I liked Wesley Crusher. I don't care what anyone says.
But I also think Taron Killen.
Like, who's on SNL.
Who's on SNL now. Yeah. Like, he could play me. I could play him. I don't know.
I want to say that it would be like The Rock. But again, wishful thinking. I'd get Bobby Moynihan.
Why? I know the name. I've heard the name a million times. And I know exactly who it is, but I can't put a face.
You saw the SNL skit with the alien abduction?
Mm-hmm.
He was the male FBI agent.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Because there's a long list of celebrities I would want to play me. Right. Ryan Gosling, Arnold Schwarzenegger,
you're just
1983.
Going full Mac at this point.
Yeah. But in reality, it would be Bobby Moynihan, Chris Farley if he were still alive, Boogie 2988. Probably Rob Schneider. I could probably actually get Rob Schneider to play me.
Rob Schneider is Mr. 100.
I want to punch you just for saying that. That would
also. You're telling me you're going to take me for a ride?
All right. 30-minute show today.
The end. Rest of the show is just 30 minutes up. Going to take you for a ride.
That would also be the worst SNL skit in history, by the way. And there have been some really bad ones. Who will you vote for? Okay. I actually have not read these messages yet.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing I see from Aaron Picard is, who will you vote for in the presidential election? And I immediately said, well, skip that one because we don't want to start a fight. But actually, this is a good one. Who are you going to vote for in the presidential election? Kang or Kodos?
Kodos.
At least then you can say, don't blame me, I voted for Kodos.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The bumper sticker would make sense.
Right. What do you think of Sideshow Bob. Pretty sure he means Bob. What do you think of Sideshow Bob's Selma killing policy versus his Bart killing policy versus Diamond Joe Quimby's promise to vote for you if you run? I don't necessarily agree with his Bart killing policy, but I do like his, Selma killing policy. And if Diamond Joe Quimby promised to vote for me, for once he's the lesser of two evils. So I'm all for that. These are all Simpsons quotes, by the way.
No,
if
yeah.
you're not getting these, ladies and gentlemen, you really need to go bone up on those things.
I have to side with the Bart killing policy just because it gave us the Bart, the.
Well, doesn't it say "Die Bart, die" on your chest?
No, it's German. It's the Bart, the.
Oh, well, someone who speaks German can never be evil. Lindsay has a legitimate question. How do you feel about the new, and you'll want to talk about this. How do you feel about the new upcoming TMNT crossover episode where the 80s version will show up?
Yeah.
We talked about this right before the show, because if you've looked at the plot outline of that episode, it's basically the plot of the Turtles Forever movie. Just replace the 2000 Turtles with the new Nickelodeon Turtles, which is a good substitute.
Which, well, and it's not even that. It's like Turtles Forever was literally every incarnation of the Turtles.
Which was amazing, by the way. And it was, for a like, Ninja Turtle fan, it was incredible.
Yeah, if you've ever liked any version of the Ninja Turtles, it's worth watching Turtles Forever.
Yeah.
Because you'll see that version of the Turtles.
Literally, there is a part in the movie where you see every iteration of the Ninja Turtles in the background from, and I'm not making this up, mm-hmm. the old cartoon, the new cartoons, the Japanese anime,
the comics,
the next mutation. Literally, every version of Ninja Turtles is on display here, which is incredible.
Right. And so, but instead of it being like every version, it's just the 80s cartoon and the current cartoon.
Yeah. And what they couldn't do
for a 30-minute episode, or assume it, maybe they'll do like a two-parter, which kind of seems likely.
I think it is, because I think this is the season finale.
Okay,
I want to say
it makes a lot of sense. It streamlines it more, and I also think that this current cartoon is one of my favorite versions of the Ninja Turtles.
Absolutely,
it's so good. The tone is perfect.
Yeah.
And I think it'll go really well with the cheesy, over-the-top 80s cartoon. Because they're going to be going back and forth. Like, so you'll see the 80s cartoon Turtles in, like, the weird 3D art style of the current show. And then vice versa with the current Turtles going into the classic hand-drawn.
Which is really, really interesting. And I also love the fact that they got the original voice actors from the 80s Turtles to voice their characters again. Which they could not do in Turtles Forever, which was funny.
Yeah.
They actually had different people.
And I think... Because I actually, when I first saw that, I think I tagged you and Lindsay in it both.
You did, yeah.
And I think it was either, I think it was there that she left a kind of an interesting comment that past Raphael is current Donatello. Same voice actor.
I think it's Ron Paulson is his name.
I couldn't tell you his name.
When we first started watching the new Ninja Turtles program, we also immediately heard that and thought, wow, that's Raphael's voice coming from Donatello. And it works surprisingly well. He does a really great Donatello. I also noticed, I did not realize this, and I don't know when this changed, but apparently Jason Biggs no longer voices Leonardo. It's actually Seth Green now.
Really?
Yeah, and I did not know that.
And I know I just said that this is one of the favorite versions of Turtles. I have seen painfully little of it.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen maybe a total of like a season and a half. And it's not all the same season. It's just I will pick up individual episodes here and there. But every single episode that I've seen, I have loved.
I've seen the first season, and it was really good. The only complaints I ever had about it, because it captures the spirit of Ninja Turtles so well, especially in this version, they really do feel like they are teenagers.
Right.
They feel young. Mm-hmm. I don't entirely like the fact that April O'Neil is a teenager.
Yeah.
Because I'm so used to her being a reporter,
right.
Which isn't even accurate. In the original comics, she was a scientist. She was actually assistant to Baxter Stockman in the originals. But I really like it, except for the fact, and this is a strange thing to be critical over, but I feel like when they show the city, there are so few people there. And I know that sounds weird, but if you watch those, especially the first season, watch the street scenes. Mm-hmm. There are so few people on the street. It does not feel like New York is alive.
Well, and there...
And that's a limitation of the budget, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's one of those things, too. I distinctly remember someone posting on Reddit, like, Michelangelo is... Like, it's a scene. They're inside of a building. Michelangelo's in front of a window, and you see the skyline in the background. And then it cuts to Leonardo talking. And then it cuts back to Michelangelo, and the skyline is totally different.
Really?
Yeah. So it's just, I mean, but you're gonna get that with any kind of like animated season, especially early, or any animated series, especially like early on in the run.
Or any series, really. Like show. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, cause you're like me, you're a big It's Always Sunny fan.
Of course.
And have you ever noticed just how many cuts they do? Like there are times where somebody's glasses will be on, then off, then on. Mm-hmm. Something will be written down, then it's gone, then it's back. I wonder how many cuts they do per episode and then tie it all together. And do they even care at this point? Like, do they go back and watch those episodes and go, oh, we messed up there. The continuity's off. Or do they just say, forget it. Our fans, it's like the Lethal Weapon thing. Our fans expect it.
Yeah. I probably a little bit of both, honestly. Like, I think initially it was just, they didn't necessarily have the resources to really have someone who's, because if you go to any major, like, movie or TV set, that is someone's job. Like, there are usually multiple people making sure, okay, you had your coffee cup in your right hand and you were holding it by the handle.
Yeah.
So then when they pick it up by just like the cup itself. Like, wait, hang on. Nope. Grab it by the handle. This tie needs to be tied this way instead of this way because we're on day two of shooting.
Yeah.
They may not have had the resources to do that because if you listen to them talk about that first season, it was pretty much just
it was bare bones.
Yeah, absolutely.
The intro itself was just them literally filming with a hand cam.
And all of the music was just public domain.
Yeah.
And
it still is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think same with like the public domain music, it's just something that it endeared a lot of people to the show.
Oh, absolutely.
And so they made the conscious choice of, let's leave it this way.
Yeah.
And so even though their production values have exponentially gone up,
you could tell that just by the, especially around the time, I think it was the sixth season. It was Frank's Pretty Woman.
Yeah.
The first episode I can remember, the camera, just the visuals looked different. They looked high def. They looked much better.
Right. Cause I think that was the first season that they did. They shot in HD. Mm-hmm. But so yeah, I think it's just, it could have been just something that started as a necessity that then they just kind of chose to maybe keep on.
Just
embrace
it.
Or it may just be that the style of their shooting, especially if you go through the blooper reels, like it's the same thing with Parks and Rec. Like you'll notice so many like sudden kind of subtle zoom ins on people because like if Charlie's saying something, all of a sudden you don't see Mac anymore because he's laughing.
Really?
And that was like the best take of Charlie. But so they had to kind of come in a little bit to make sure that the character breaking isn't making it into the final product.
And It's Always Sunny is one of those shows. We talk about it a lot here on Podzilla because we love it so much. Mm-hmm. But even after 10 seasons, I think they're on the 11th season, it still feels as fresh and funny as it did at the beginning.
Yeah.
Real quick question for you, Asa, before we move on to something you want to talk about. Mm-hmm. Do you think the show would have survived as long as it has without Danny DeVito? Or do you think he is one of the things that kept it on? And I don't just mean from a quality standpoint.
No, yeah.
Do you think the network would have kept it if Danny DeVito hadn't signed on?
I think they've already, like, they've pretty much flat out said that they needed to sign someone. Like, they needed a name, to be able to attach it to for marketing reasons.
Yeah.
And then just, like, Danny DeVito as Frank Reynolds is just
classic character.
Perfect, yeah, he's, you know, from what it's, that's another thing that I love about that show is every single one of those characters has a very clearly evolved, like, character arc going from the first season to the 10th season now.
Especially Dennis.
Yeah.
You were going to say that. Yeah. Cause Dennis started off as kind of a creepy womanizer.
Right.
And slowly began to realize that he wasn't as popular or as desired as he thought he was.
His ego just was not able to cope with that.
And he is literally a sociopath now.
Yeah. The prom episodes were,
oh my
like,
God.
Where he goes from, you know, I am the golden god.
Yeah.
To he's the new Psycho Pete.
Yeah.
Just, it's such a great evolution of the character. Excuse me. And same with Frank. Like, cause the second season, Frank comes in. He's just, his wife kicks him out. He was in a really unhappy marriage. He's just kind of
rich businessman.
Rich businessman, but he didn't really have any passion in his life.
Yeah.
And then he ends up moving in with Charlie and like slumming it with Charlie and Mac. And then he just slowly becomes so ingrained in this lifestyle of
poverty.
And even though he's still like rich, he's still like crazy rich.
He is.
He doesn't live like it anymore.
And I think part of the charm of this show, the parts that we don't like to talk about when I am offensive, is very much inspired by things like It's Always Sunny or Mr. Show.
Oh yeah.
The difference between that is that when they did it, it was funny social commentary, and when I say it, it's just.
Well, and I don't think it's,
it's not always bad.
I don't even necessarily think it's that. I just think it's, you know, those are very clearly actors playing a role. And
she's saying, I'm not Zach Price. I'm not playing a character. I should be me.
It's one of those things where, you know, sometimes you do kind of go into that, like, cause you never say those things coming from a place of hate or
right.
like that you actually think it's a thing. It's completely just, it's satirizing the kind of people who actually would say those things.
Right. Right.
And so, but when an actor playing a character, you know, Charlie Kelly or Charlie Day playing Charlie Kelly says those people, it's different than, when we do these shows, because, you know, you'll be like midway through a really heartwarming or like really emotional, true to who you are as a person's story. Beat, 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 throw out something crazy and offensive to get a laugh from us. And it's kind of hard to differ. I think for part of the reason that I've always been kind of uncomfortable with it, like, is just it's hard to really differentiate for the people who are listening that don't know us, like personally aren't friends, because while this kind of started as just a, oh, let's
local,
let's screw around.
Thing,
like,
yeah,
just, you know, and our friends will listen to it. It's grown
global.
It's grown so far beyond that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That, and I think I mentioned this on the 200th episode, it might be difficult for people to really be able to differentiate the Shannon telling the story about his, you know, telling the stories about your parents, or when we talk about, you know, why we love pro wrestling so much, or, you know, why we were so ecstatic when gay marriage was finally held up in the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Versus the Shannon that then will throw out the N-word or, you know,
for the
stuff
record,
like that.
For the record, I did grow up saying that word, just for the record. And it does not come from that sounds terrible too.
A little bit.
I mean that in the sense that I grew up in a very urban area. All of my friends were black, mm-hmm. and I was just kind of accepted into that culture. I'm not mm-hmm. going to say their culture, because that's not African-American culture to say the N-word.
Right.
But the culture of the area I was in.
Right.
We said the word.
Mm-hmm.
And part of me still says the word and doesn't think about the power that the word has.
Right.
So that's that. Moving on to, we've got about 15 minutes left. I know you want to talk about this. I want to get your thoughts on it because I'm excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've been looking at this game for a while. You've been wanting to talk about it. Let's talk about it. Street Fighter V. No.
There it is.
I think I finally retired on Street Fighter V Online. I was 8-4, I think. Which for me is a fantastic record. I think it's time to move on. But that's not what we're here to talk about. Street Fighter V was a horrible disappointment.
It kind of rolls into what I want to talk about, which is Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat. Which is a game that, since you want to talk about, you know, mm-hmm. Shannon telling parent stories,
mm-hmm.
The first Mortal Kombat came out when I was really young and I had a Super Nintendo. So I got the version that didn't have blood.
Right.
I got the gray sweat version.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother was so cautious to buy it for me. Because she didn't want me, because she had heard the things that the TVs was saying.
And as she should be, like, there's no really skirting around it. Like, that is not something children should have been playing.
And it seems tame now to go back and play the original Mortal Kombat.
Oh, especially, like, when you compare fatalities.
Oh, my God, yes.
Just.
And I wonder, do you think that the Mortal Kombat, because it's almost accepted now for kids to play games like that. Like, I know there's an M rating that ESRB puts out there that a lot of companies follow. But at this point, it's almost accepted for them to play it.
Mortal Kombat is the reason behind.
It is. It was one of the first games that got a rating. It was really the first game that ushered in that era of censorship.
I don't remember who it was, so I'm not even going to make a guess because I'll be so wrong.
Jack Thompson?
No, it wasn't Jack Thompson. It was a politician that like was just so mortified that the children could have access to such graphic, terrible content that this clearly needed to be regulated somehow.
Which it does to an extent.
No, yeah, and I agree with that. I just think with how, especially because like going back to when the first Mortal Kombat came out for the Sega Genesis and the Super Nintendo, video games as a medium were still really young.
Yeah.
Like there had been,
it was
maybe,
still a niche market.
Yeah, there had been maybe two consoles before it, you know, with the Atari, like the Atari generation and then like the original Nintendo. But, and even those, like this was the first generation that you really got detail. Especially in that almost pseudo lifelike.
Yeah. Because the Mortal Kombat graphics were not like Street Fighter.
Right.
Street Fighter was obviously the superior game. It was.
No one will
argue that.
Oh, no, no, no.
But the graphics wise, that ultra realistic look that Mortal Kombat had versus the cartoon anime influence that Street Fighter had.
Right.
A lot of people I know wanted to play Mortal Kombat.
Mm-hmm.
And it was mostly for the blood and the guts.
Right.
Which back then was offensive, but compared to what we're going to talk about.
Right.
Almost seems like watching, I'm trying to think, there was Romeo and Juliet with Peter O'Toole
mm-hmm.
that was supposed to be so offensive because the girl's, you know, bosom was showing so much and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And compare that to any movie now.
Right.
Even things on the Disney Channel.
Yeah.
Seems tame in comparison.
Oh, yeah.
Mortal Kombat XL is by far the bloodiest and most disturbing game I have ever witnessed. And in a good way.
Right.
I'm a horror aficionado. You know me. I love horror films. And I see more horror elements in Mortal Kombat than in any horror game I've ever played, and it's amazing.
Yeah. No, it's really great. And I know I talked a lot of negative about the way they did DLC on like shows like Nerd Up and various other shows. But the way that they ended up doing this XL pack has been, I think, a lot better than what I assumed it was going to be.
Right.
But when you look at Mortal Kombat X as a core game launched with, I don't know how many stages, but it had 24 characters to start with.
And then they added.
And then you could.
Nine?
Goro, yeah.
Altogether?
Goro was a pre-order bonus.
Which, by the way, Goro should go down as one of the greatest fighting bosses of all time.
Right.
His appearance in the first Mortal Kombat, I don't know if you played the original Mortal Kombat much, mm-hmm. but if you made it to Goro, the first time you saw him, you went, oh my God.
How am I supposed to do that? Like,
the first time he picks you up with two arms and then starts beating your chest with the other two?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. And he's still a lot of fun to play. Mm-hmm. Especially against you.
Oh, God, I hate him so much.
I know.
but so it launches with 24 characters. You get, and then Goro is a pre-order bonus, or you could just buy him for $5, which not super, like, okay.
That was a little shady.
But that's pretty much Warner Brothers is the one behind that. And then they do the two separate combat packs with four characters apiece, so you get 9 extra characters. And if you want to get technical with it, the Triborg, who just released on the first, is 4 separate characters on its own.
Yeah.
They share some basic combo strings, like input-wise.
Fatalities are the same.
The x-ray's the same. Their intros and exit, like their intros and stuff are the same. But their special moves could not be more different.
Right. Because you should explain, for the people that don't play Mortal Kombat.
For the people who don't play Mortal Kombat, Triborg is a... every Mortal Kombat X character has 3 fighting types or variations.
Right.
Triborg's 3 variations are Sektor, Cyrax, and Smoke, who are all individual characters from previous Mortal Kombat games.
And unlike other characters, say Johnny Cage, who has a variation, but he's still basically the same character with a slight change.
Right.
The Triborg is completely different.
Totally different. All of their special moves are completely different.
Exclusive to that version.
Exclusive to that version. Again, they share really similar combo strings. So like, triangle, square, triangle is going to be the same combo, just with different animations.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, there is a hidden character in Cyber Sub-Zero that there is a way to select a variationless character, which just removes any sort of specialty from each variation, which it's not something you normally want to do.
Right. I was going to say that's a very weird concept.
Yeah. It's not it's pretty much for like practice modes. And then it's almost like if you want to do like an original, like Mortal Kombat 9
type
deal.
Yeah. Like a purist type.
Except then you lose any of their specialty moves. So if like Jax is, you only get his like, I think Gotcha Grab and like the, Knee of Justice or whatever you want to call it. But then if you do it with Triborg, you get Cyber Sub-Zero, which is a 4th completely different, fighting style of Triborg.
Right. And then Triborg, I know, is your favorite character from the pack.
Yeah.
He is definitely the most interesting. Mm-hmm. But for my money, I mean, the one I was most excited about as a huge Alien fan is they have the Xenomorph in it. Mm-hmm. Even though the Xenomorph is a Baraka-inspired version of it, and I'm not too keen on that. And the Xenomorph himself does look a little odd compared to how you're used to. If you've seen the Alien films, he looks a little bit different.
Right.
But at the same time, I played you in a match with him. It's the only time I got to play as the Alien. Mm-hmm. And it was so much fun. I was dropping face huggers. There were chest bursters. Leatherface is in the game as well, if you're a horror fan. And probably the most disturbing character in the game.
Yeah.
From the noises he makes to his fatalities, it is so true to the character.
And it really is. It's something that, like, whenever the initial lineup of characters was released, I was really disappointed.
I remember you saying that. You said, like, I said, oh wow, Leatherface and Alien, that's cool. And you were not impressed by Leatherface at all.
Not even, or Alien or Bo Raicho. Even though, like, because it's both combat packs, there were 2 guest characters and 2 Mortal Kombat characters.
Right.
I pretty much flat out says, like, there's no way I'm buying this season pass. But they changed my mind with this thing. They did these combat casts. So every Thursday, they highlighted a new character and showed all 3 of their variations. And when I saw Leatherface, it, like, the way that he handled and the way that he played, I was really impressed and actually got me a little bit excited to play as him. But no, they truly are fans of the Texas Chainsaw series. They have to be. Because from his outro of the dance, like swinging the chainsaw around his head, the whimpers and the whines
that's
he does
the most disturbing part
whenever he gets damaged or even in the middle of a combo, like he will just kind of let out a guttural just noise that's unsettling.
Yeah.
There's
the
so
outfits,
much,
the fatalities. Yeah. It's authentic.
Yeah. It really is.
The same thing with Alien.
And then, you know. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But then to compare it to a game like Street Fighter V, that came out where there
I think 12 to 16 characters. I forget which. I think it's 12, but I may be selling it short.
Mortal Kombat also had just so many game modes.
Yeah.
You can do single fight against a computer. You can go online in ranked or unranked. You can do King of the Hill match types.
Story mode, towers.
This is one of the best fighting. I will, honestly, like Mortal Kombat between 9 and 10, there is no better story mode in any fighting game.
Not at
and
all.
And I will put money down on that.
I don't think anyone would argue, because I did buy Street Fighter V. I said it on the show a couple weeks ago, and I played it a lot. I did enjoy it. It is a good game. You can't argue with the fact that once you get in the game and you're fighting,
mechanics,
it's fun. Yes.
Yeah.
But the story mode is laughable. Absolutely laughable. It's a disgrace.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of characters is a disgrace. The amount of modes is a disgrace. The fact that they would put that game out after Mortal Kombat came out and really set the bar higher.
Yeah.
Either means that they are out of touch with what people want, or they know what people want and they just don't care, much like Vince McMahon in the WWE.
Right. It's one of those things where just so many people, there's so many just basic things missing from Street Fighter.
Like, prime example. Let's say I pick Cassie Cage and I fight Johnny Cage. There is an intro specific to those two characters.
Of them interacting. Yeah, multiple interactions.
Now compare that to Street Fighter V. I had Ken fight Ryu. Yeah, it's the same canned entrance every single time. There's two winning animations.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
And it's not like
it's laughable.
But to be fair, like that's not like a fighting game. Like that's not really new.
No.
It's just when you compare it to what Mortal Kombat has done and the amount of effort that they clearly put into that game.
Did they do that in 9?
I don't remember. I don't think that they did. Or if they did, it was only like specific characters. Maybe like Scorpion and Sub-Zero might have a special one.
But it still had the story mode. 9's story mode was amazing.
It was so good.
The fact that Street Fighter came out so much later, it boggles my mind. And I will say Mortal Kombat went from being that game that everybody wanted to play just because of the blood and the guts, mm-hmm. even though it wasn't a great game, to an awful game. Because there was a string of games that were...
There was a couple, like, I think it was a...
Armageddon, Deception Deadly Alliance.
Deception and Armageddon were, I think, the two worst. Well, four, Deception and Armageddon. I actually still enjoyed Deadly Alliance.
I've never played that one.
I think that was the one, maybe.
There were the really, really terrible ones, like Mythologies, the ones that are
Sub-Zero
offshoots.
and Special Forces that weren't fighting games at all. They were just like...
They thought they could take these characters and branch them out back before they actually had a real story mode for them.
Right. But they did it successfully with Shaolin Monks.
The best of the series.
I love Shaolin Monks. That's another game.
But they really reinvented themselves with Mortal Kombat 9 and created a fighting game that was, I bought just on a whim.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up loving it so much.
Yeah, it was, before Mortal Kombat X, Mortal Kombat 9 is the only fighting game that I've put a significant amount of time to, aside from maybe Soul Calibur 3, which everyone had the console exclusive.
Two.
Extra character.
Those two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like Soul Calibur 2, but it didn't have a real story mode.
Not really.
It had, an arcade tower where each character kind of got the ending credit.
Which Street Fighter doesn't. By the way.
So not only does Mortal Kombat have a full-on story mode, every character has a tower that they go through.
With their own ending.
With their own specific endings. I mean, not all of them are canon, but it's still just kind of entertaining to be able to go through and see.
Yeah.
As well as they have living towers, which are updated every day. There's an hourly, a daily, and a weekly premiere that you get different rewards for. The Crypt. All of the different fan art and alternate costumes and brutalities and...
So much content was put into Mortal Kombat. And when you see Street Fighter in comparison to it, it really makes you wonder what the hell happened with Capcom.
And honestly, it was when Street Fighter really came out and I looked at just how much content that I got for my... Because the first combat pack was $30. The second XL pack was $20. If you just get the second one.
Did you buy Mortal Kombat new originally?
Yeah.
So basically you put about $110 into it.
Yeah. And absolutely worth it. Like, I mean, it's one of those things where while I would have loved to have all of that content for $60, like I think games really should be,
you can't argue that the launch, and that's the big difference between Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter V, is that you cannot argue that the launched version of Mortal Kombat wasn't complete. It was absolutely complete.
100%.
And the DLC really is extras that they've thrown in for people that have played it and beat it.
Yeah.
Street Fighter is the exact opposite. It was not complete. There is stuff missing that they're going to add in through DLC later.
And that's terrible. And, you know, things that you take for granted that
Like an arcade mode.
That every fighting game does, like an arcade mode, or being able to select what character you want to use before an online fight.
Instead of having to go to the settings and change it and then search for a fight.
And pick a favorite character and then go searching for a fight,
It's absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. It's baffling. Mm-hmm. I don't get it. And I love fighting games. One of my favorite genres is fighting. Ever since, I played the original Double Dragon, Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter, King of Fighters, Soul Calibur, Air Guys. I mean, I've played just about every fighting game there is.
The big ones.
I have Shaq Fu, by the way. And yes, awful as it is, it had, I think, more content than Street Fighter V. Just no online play. Cause God, who would want to do it?
And I'd pick up a fighting game and just kind of mess around with it, but it would always be a rental.
Yeah.
Soul Calibur 2 might be one of the only games that I actually bought, that was a fighting game. I tend to be a fan of the Tekken series.
Which version did you have, by the way?
The Xbox. So I got Spawn. Yeah.
I had PS2.
So you got Vader.
I got Heihachi.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Vader was in 4.
Okay. Yeah. Cause it was Vader or Yoda.
Yeah. So my friend had it on GameCube. Mm-hmm. He got Link from The Legend of Zelda. Mm-hmm. You had Spawn. I had the guy from Tekken that didn't use a weapon. The old man with the horseshoe hair. God bless the United States.
But I've never been like proficient at a fighting game. Like I would never challenge a friend to like a match.
Right.
Whereas Mortal Kombat, the more time I put into it, like I've won a couple times online. Like,
you have.
My record's like 3-6, I think, because I never really go online.
Yeah.
But like even just, you know, playing against like you or Jesse or whoever.
And it's competitive.
You know, yeah.
Like you and I had a match the other day.
That Goro versus Sektor.
Yeah. And it was the most fun I've had in a fighting game forever because we just kept teleporting back and forth on each other.
Because Shannon knows there's this move that Goro does that you can't just block it. You have to move out of the way.
Yeah.
But my reaction is always just to try to block it.
Right.
And it never works. But now Sektor can teleport. So we were just like trading spaces for a solid like 20 seconds.
And it was so much fun.
Yeah.
We got to cut it off, Asa. We're here at the hour, but I do want to mention to the people listening, if you like hearing us talk about Mortal Kombat, one of the ideas we've been throwing around is that we're going to start streaming it. Mm-hmm. We're going to develop a new gaming channel for Podzilla. We've been talking about it for a long time, and at some point it's going to happen, and Mortal Kombat streaming is going to be a part of it.
Yep.
So it's going to be a lot of fun. We encourage you to watch it. We'll keep you updated.
Watch us be mediocre to okay at it. Cause it's like, I'll watch those like Evo games or like some of the professional ones and they're just like, or Terrence, like 35%.
Oh, no.
Like, 40% combos, like your expectations. I have like a 26% one that I can do with Sektor a quarter of the time.
Terrence is one of the guys that goes to our Jackson store here at Gaming Grounds and he's very proficient at Mortal Kombat. Mm-hmm. The one time I played him after we learned the game, I played as Goro and I forget who he was playing as. I think it may have been Sub-Zero or Scorpion, and I beat him a single round. I then put the controller down and did a Bo Dallas style run around the store with my thumbs up.
Lab.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun. We encourage you guys to watch it. We're going to cut it off here.
Which before you do the outro, want to do a quick shout out for, we have a Patreon page.
Yes. I didn't know. Is that updated? Do we have the new names on there?
I'm not 100% sure, but.
Do you remember the name?
Yeah.
Okay. Please go ahead.
Because, because the majority of the people, like, well, exclusively the people who contribute to the show are direct friends of someone on the show or are on the show themselves. But we actually have our first.
We have it updated.
Oh, we have an update.
Yeah. So, we want to give a shout out to all of our contributors, which is Cody Sandusky, mm-hmm. William Kraft, who is Tabitha's boyfriend, you know, mm-hmm. we mentioned earlier, Kevin Schenkelberg, the owner.
The powers that be.
Yeah. The, the COO of Podzilla 1985, Tanner Calvert, Katie Reed, and our newest contributor from on Patreon, Billy Torres, who is someone we don't know.
Right.
This is the first person that isn't associated with us, that doesn't know us, that contributed money because he likes our show so much. So
huge thanks to Billy.
All of you, especially Billy. Yeah. Unless it's Billy Wolfert under a pseudonym. In which case.
It's his Mark Twain.
Billy Torres. So thank you guys for contributing. If you want to contribute to Podzilla 1985, if you enjoy what we do here, you can find us on
Patreon.
Just look up Podzilla 1985.
Yep.
You can also buy our merchandise at redbubble.com. Mm-hmm. Look up Podzilla 1985. And like I said, go to the page and you can find our Twitter handles. You can interact with us personally. You like something on the show, you want to talk to us, shoot us a message. And I think that's it.
Yep.
We'll be back tomorrow with Pro Wrestling Unscripted with myself, Asa, Allie, and Dalton.
I believe we'll be previewing Roadblock.
Roadblock, which is this Saturday.
Show.
We're also going to talk about Raw. We're going to talk about the Hulk Hogan trial. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of stuff to talk about tomorrow. Should be a great show. So thank you guys for listening. We enjoyed having you. Hope you enjoyed listening. And we will see you tomorrow. And Asa, say goodnight.
Good night.